We are starting our new sermon series called All In. This is a parallel sermon series running at the same time in the Cantonese service, and it's supposed to be our 20th anniversary sermon series. I want to take some time to talk about the title. The English title is pretty self-explanatory, All In, and you probably can guess what that means. I want to take some time to explain the Chinese title. I'm going to teach you how to read this, okay? 進擊的門徒. Can you say that once? 3, 2, 1, let's go. Okay, you got it. You tried. Anybody know where that comes from? You probably do. Attack on Titan, I heard of that. So what we're going to talk about has nothing to do with Titans, okay? Just so you know. Because obviously we changed the name. We went from Attack of Titan, you know, or Attack on Titan, to Attack of 門徒, which is disciples. Attack of disciples. This first two characters here is very interesting. 進擊, it means attacking. It means relentless. You know, in some translations, you can say, oh, it's proactive, you know, taking the offensive. You put it as an adjective. So when you put them together, we're trying to say that as disciples, we want to be, or we have been, you know, disciples on the offensive, disciples that are very proactive, that are relentless, that keep going. You know, that's the idea we want to communicate in that title name. And if you look back for the past 20 years, I think 進擊, this attacking relentlessness, is not too far of a description of what we were, especially when we first started. Let me tell you a little bit of our origin story. We started this church in 2006, June of 2006. Now, back then, we had no income. Obviously, we just started the church. So one of the founding pastors, Pastor Joshua, he actually sold his home. He sold his home so that he could sustain, you know, this new church and also the family. Both of our founding pastors, Pastor Wilbur and Pastor Joshua, they were both without pay for 1.5 years. 1.5 years. We obviously had no venue, so we were gathering at people's homes, Pastor Joshua's home that he rented, and then later on, Hank's, one of our deacons' home. We had no denomination support. In fact, there was quite a bit of opposition because people were saying to us that there are enough Chinese churches in Richmond. Like, why do you need to start another one? It's not going to work. You guys are crazy. You know, spend your effort somewhere else. Obviously, we had no congregation. There's no office space. You know, there's no equipment. But what we did have is we did have a very simple vision. And we have 5 families that went all in. So all the odds were against us when we first started the church. We shouldn't be able to survive. Fast forward half a year, by January of 2007, we had our first service in Richmond Secondary School. We rented their multipurpose room, and we had approximately 56 people in attendance, and our budget at that time was a whopping $130,000. Fast forward a little bit more. 10 years later, in 2016, we had 400 people in attendance. For our 10th year anniversary, we called the sermon series at that point, we called Crazy. Because that's what people called us. You guys are crazy. You guys are crazy. You guys are out of your minds. You guys are out of control. You guys are not realistic. You guys are too idealistic. You guys are putting in all this effort for what? And we were okay with it. In some ways, we liked to be called crazy because we are being called crazy for Jesus. And that, I think, is a good thing. So we embraced the name and we thought, why don't we call that and make that our theme for the 10-year anniversary? Some of you are old enough to remember that you were here at this 10-year anniversary celebration. And it's at that point that we began to sow the seeds for what would become this service here. Because at that time, we started Acts Fellowship. You remember Acts Fellowship, or Youth Fellowship for our high school students? Later on in 2017, we started our first English service for the high schools who cannot no longer bear the Youth Fellowship. So then we had to start a service for y'all. Now, the next 10 years, it's just as crazy and impossible to imagine. Because what happened very quickly after 2016, there was this crisis in our rental situation in Richmond Secondary School. Richmond Secondary School, they did not allow us to rent their gym for services anymore. So we had to go back to multi-purpose room. We had to squeeze 400 people into a 200 people multi-purpose room. It was so bad to the point, if you're from Richmond Secondary School, you know, this is the multi-purpose room. This is the cafeteria. The blinds open from this side. You're watching. This is the overflow service. They are watching from like a 35-degree angle. We could have, and honestly, we should have closed at that point. That was 2019. Fast forward just 1 year, it was the pandemic. You remember the pandemic? It seemed like it's forever ago. Everything moved online, and to make matters worse, during that process, Richmond Secondary School officially, they said, we will no longer rent any of our places, any of our spaces to you. So we officially became homeless. We were supposed to have 400 people, but we became homeless. We should have, and we could have closed at that point, like so many other churches all over the world. But then in 2021 and 2022, God provided. God made a way when there was no way. We were able to establish a rental relationship with Fraserville MB Church here, and we reopened all of our services in the years of 2021 and 2022. And from 2022 until now, these 4 years, it's so amazing. We experienced such a significant growth in numbers. A lot of it was because of the new guests and the new immigrants coming from Hong Kong, as you may know. But we also have so much internal growth leading to the start of, you know, our Cantonese high school and college ministries. And obviously, of course, you guys, the English high school and college ministries and our English service. 2016, from the 10th year mark to 2026, the 20th mark, it was a crazy 10 years. There were so many moments where this church could have closed down, the staff team could have burnt out, the servants could have quit, but by God's grace and his providence, we officially celebrate our 20th anniversary later in this month. Now, as with any milestone, any time milestone, especially with any organization, what would you do? You would get together and reflect and evaluate on the results of the past 20 years. And that's what the staff team and the pastoral team did. We went and we met and we talked about all the stuff that we were quite proud of and happy about. Let me list to you some of them. Somewhere in the middle of this year, we hit 800 people in attendance. We are 800 people church, believe it or not. We had a revenue of $2 million in 2025, last year. I cannot count the number of services in one hand. We have two Cantonese services in the morning, two children's services, one youth service, one English service. We have the high school and college small group ministries in both languages, Cantonese and English. We have the young adult small groups. We have adult small group. Can you imagine? Adult small group, 26 adult small groups altogether. If you count all of our serving members, our servants, you will get more than 400 people. And I think when we also looked at, you know, our program, our quality, you know, the stuff that we hear from you guys, from newcomers, generally what we hear is, oh, the worship is not bad, the preaching is pretty understandable, small group. These are the reasons that new guests choose to stay. And so then we thought, well, we must be doing pretty well, you know, not to, you know, like sort of, you know, make ourselves feel good, but, you know, maybe we should be getting an A of some sort. So we thought to ourselves, well, what grade would this church get altogether? No, not just the program, everything together. What grade would we give this church? Definitely not a fail. I'd say maybe a high B plus and maybe touching A minus for all your Gen Alphas and young people. You could say we're proficient, touching the extending mark. You know, we can definitely do better in many areas, but we're certainly not failing. We have 800 people. So that's the staff's evaluation of KEC. What is your evaluation of KEC? I'm going to guess, okay, what is your evaluation of Koinonia Church? I'm going to guess. Let's talk about programs. Preaching. For the most part, you guys are pretty understandable, you know, not too boring, you know, not too long, pretty practical. I kind of know what you're talking about, and I can take something home. Worship, you know, it's good quality, there's not much mistakes, no error, you know, it's not too cringy, you know. For the most part, it's pretty good. You guys, the musicians are pretty talented. Small group, generally is pretty helpful, it's pretty fun. We could use more fun, but like, you know, it's a little boring at times, but it's generally pretty good, you know, the vibe's pretty good. The leader's super friendly, super chill. How about support? I'm going to guess that you're thinking the pastors are pretty supportive, pretty, you know, helpful. You know, one pastor in particular, he might look a little mean at times, you know, but generally all the pastors are pretty loving and available. Community, you love this community. Everybody's so chill with each other, so friends with each other, you know, approachable, hospitable. You've made a lot of friends here. And sometimes you would even skip service, and if you can't make to service, you would go to dinner with your friends in the church. So my question to you is, what grade would you give the church? Can I be so bold to guess that your grade is at least a B+, if not an A-? We are proficient, if not a little extending. Which honestly, if that's the grade we got, that's a big reason to celebrate for 20 years. We spent all these 20 years and we got a B+. We got an A-. I think that's a great reason to celebrate. Pat ourselves on the back, feel good about what we've done, you know. And if all of you, all of me, you know, we're all a little Asian-minded, would say, well, let's try to get that A+. Go from the A- to the A+. Go from the proficient to the extending. And maybe that should be the direction for the next 20 years. That should be the message. That should be the sermon series. In fact, I already came up with a name for the sermon series. It should be called Pretty Good. 幾好的門徒. Not bad. I got the sermon title, From Proficient to Extending. How do we keep on improving for the next 20 years? When the pastors, we met for our 20th anniversary meeting, that's where we initially arrived at. But we quickly realized that there is a big problem. We are creating our grading rubric, and we're self-evaluating ourselves. That's not how school works. That's not how your boss works in your company. So the question that we need to ask, remind ourselves, we need to ask is, well, what does Jesus think of us? Because let's be honest, the pastors are not the boss of this church. At most, the pastors are managers of the church. Jesus is the boss. He is the owner of the church. And in fact, sorry to say this, but you are not the boss of this church. We host the service so that you can come. In some ways, you can use the language that we serve you, but you're not the boss. You're not the customer. So your opinion, honestly, it doesn't matter as much as Jesus' opinion. So then is his grading rubric, how many people you have? How much money you make? Is that his grading rubric? How many ministries you have? How many services you have? How much people like your program? How many friends they are able to make? Is that how he evaluates his church? Probably not any of these, honestly. If Jesus is the boss, he's the Lord of the church, and he is, we need to know what his grading rubric is. What is his work expectation, the job description, so to speak? Or we are just wasting our time. So is there a grading rubric? Is there sort of this expectation, a standard for us? And there is. Jesus laid out for us very clearly what our mission is to do. You know, this passage, Great Commission. After his resurrection, he gathered all of his people, his disciples, and he gave them the mission. And look at this very carefully. He says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. So go, therefore, and make make churchgoers, make sure as many people come to your church as possible. Make go there for and make friends of everybody. Make sure you get along with everybody. Everybody feels loved. Everybody feels supported, you know. Make sure you have a bunch of people flooding 437 after service. You know, just as long as that number keeps on increasing, you're doing the right work. Is it go therefore and make believers of all nations. As long as they pray, as long as they sing the songs, they take communion, they come to service once in a little bit, you know, as long as they profess, you know, if you have to ask them, they'll say, you know, yeah, I am a Christian. Is it to make this make believers? You know it's not. It's make disciples. What is a disciple? Disciple is not just a student. There's some connotations of learning involved in being a disciple, but it's not just a student. A disciple is a lifelong covenantal relationship where the disciple, the student, adopts the lifestyle, the teaching, the mission of the teacher. It's a lifelong thing where the disciple seeks and tries and continues to grow to become like the teacher. Make disciples of Jesus. And you know this next part, disciples of what? Of where? Do we make disciples of our friends, you know, people that we care about, people that are friendly to the faith, Richmond, you know? We're supposed to make disciples of all nations. Everyone. Everyone in the world. And if that everyone in the world is too big for you, how about everyone in Vancouver for our church in Vancouver? Make disciples of all nations, of all people in Vancouver. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Then what? Teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. What is observe? To look at all that I've commanded you. To read all that I've commanded you. To look from afar. No, that's not what it means, unfortunately. Observe means to keep, to obey. To obey all that I've commanded you. Make disciples people that obey what I tell you all. And behold, I'm with you always to the end of the age. That is the mission, the grading rubric, the single mission statement of the church. This is the church's job description. And there is, I don't think, any other. So that's why 20 years ago, when the founding pastors, when they get together and they decided what is the mission of the church going to be, they base it off of this. I'm going to tell you this church mission statement. It's going to sound boring, but you have to be educated about this, okay? This is important. Our mission is to build a Bible-based faith community in Greater Vancouver. Our focus is to train disciples for the expansion of the kingdom of God by becoming living witnesses in our own community. We are supposed to be a Bible-based community. Not performance-based, not quality-based, not friends-based, not relationship-based, not service-based. It's a Bible-based faith community. And we're supposed to train up disciples for the kingdom of God, becoming living witnesses in our community. Not just to love one another and be friends with everybody, but become living witnesses. We're supposed to make a difference. Early on in our church's history, we like to entertain this question quite a bit. If KEC one day we're just gone for some reason, we just evaporated, Vancouver should feel that they miss you. They should notice the difference. And I don't mean that all of a sudden there's more parking spaces in Mellis Drive, okay? They should feel that when you're gone from your workplace, something good is missing. When you're gone from your school, when you're gone from your family, if somebody, something happened and you evaporated, somebody should miss you, not because they love you a lot, but you are making a difference in their life, in the community. So the question is, are we doing that right now? That is the grading rubric. What grade would Jesus give the church? That's the important question. If you're still a little unsure, Let me try to spell this out for you, okay? This is my interpretation of the learning outcomes of this grading rubric, okay? Are you a disciple who follows and obeys Jesus, obeys all of his commandments? How often do you read God's word? Do you even like to read God's word? Are you even seriously reading God's word regularly? How capable and how confident are you making disciples? Are you a light to the community in Vancouver? Like, do you make a difference in your community? Are people glad that you are there in their lives and you are a light to them? When you walk to your workplace, to your school on Monday, well, there's no school anymore, but you know what I mean. When you go to your community, how many disciples or Christians do you see? Are we done? After 20 years, are we done? What grade do you think we'd get? Are we extending? Are we proficient? As part of the pastor's preparation for 20th anniversary, in trying to answer this question, we did a mental exercise. Imagine if Jesus, he is the owner of all of these companies, you know, franchises all over the world, and as owners would do, they would travel around their, you know, companies and local stores, and they'll pay them a visit. So if Jesus paid us a visit, came through those doors, 4:45, he sat right there. Wait for all of you to show up. Worship with all of you. Maybe at the end, you know, he's the owner. After, you know, so-and-so preach, he'll come up and give you a little word. What is he going to say to you? After, you know, attending our service, he's going to meet with the pastors, meet with the managers. What is he going to say to us in our office? Actually, we don't have to, you know, do too much imagination for this. Because Jesus had already done this once. Performance review to his churches. He did this to 7 churches in the first century. And he wrote 7 letters to these 7 churches in the Asia Minor region. And these 7 letters are recorded in the book we call the Book of Revelation. So today, just for the interest of time, we're just going to look at 3 of these. And let's see, let's just imagine if any of these apply to us at all, okay? Revelation chapter 2, Jesus first addressed the church in Ephesus. He starts by saying, I know your works, your toil and your patient endurance. You work really hard, but I have this against you, that you have abandoned the love you had at first. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent and do the works you did at first. If not, I'll come to you and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. Jesus says, I know you're all busy. You're busy in your own lives. You're busy with school, with work, with church. You're busy. You've done so much. But unfortunately, that busyness is not coming from a place of love. In fact, you have forgotten your love. Has that love persisted after 20 years? After 5 years? After 4 years? After 1 year of becoming a disciple? There was a love once that you can't wait to read God's word. There was a love once that you can't wait to go to service. There was a love once that you can't wait to just pray. Is that love still there? What else might Jesus say? He said to this church in Sardis, he says, I know your works. You think I'm gone, you know, out where in the country and I'm not in your midst, but I know everything you guys do. You have the reputation of being alive, but you are dead. Wake up and strengthen what remains and is about to die. For I have not found your works complete in the sight of my God. Remember then what you have received and heard. Keep it and repent. You have a great reputation. You have 800 people. You have a pretty nice worship space. Your worship is not bad. Your small group is not bad. In fact, your reputation is so strong that when people immigrate from Hong Kong to Vancouver, they have this WhatsApp group, and your name always show up in that WhatsApp group when Christians immigrate. Even in your English circles, you know, you guys are pretty young, you guys are pretty small, you have a reputation. But reputation is not enough. You heard the word, but have you kept the word? You have the reputation of pretty good preachers, but do you keep the word that he preaches, that they preach? Are your reputation is great, but are your works complete? Are your works of generosity complete? Your works of helping, being a good neighbor, is that complete? What might Jesus say to us? One more church that he wrote a letter to, the church in Laodicea. He says this, I know your works. He always knows. To all the churches, he knows. You are neither cold nor hot. Because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. You say, I am rich, I have prospered, and I need nothing, not realizing that you're wretched, you're pitiable, you're poor, you're blind, and you're naked. Imagine that you're in a city where there's a stream of water flowing through it. If that water is hot, that's great, because, you know, that's a hot spring. It brings healing function. That's great. If the water is hot, that's great. It's useful. If the water is cold, that's also great. It soothes people. It's drinking water. It's good for people to come and if they're thirsty. But if you're lukewarm, what good are you? If you're lukewarm, there's mosquitoes, there's bugs, the water becomes still, it just gets stuck in one place. What good is the water that's lukewarm? What good is the church that's lukewarm? The people that are sick are not going to come to the church. The people that are thirsty are not going to come to the church because you're lukewarm. You're not giving. You're not contributing. There's nothing good you're giving to the community. But Jesus, we have great worship. Jesus, we have a great preacher. Jesus, we fill these halls every single Saturday. We're rich. We have $2 million. We're, you know, in our income. You said you're rich, you're prospered, you need nothing, but you don't realize that you don't have me. You have all these money and equipment, but you don't come to me. The problem with this church is they don't know that they have a problem. They think they're fine. They think they're doing well. There's no self-awareness in the church in Laodicea. So the question is, well, what might Jesus say to us? If Jesus came on a Saturday, what would he say to me? What would he say to you? What grade do you think we'd get? As the pastors, we just had a prayer meeting the past Friday. When we were talking about this, we are fully aware that really the blame is not on you. We're not trying to say all this stuff to say, you guys are not doing well. It's me, it's us. You follow where we lead. We have been distracted. We have been focusing on the wrong things. We're not serious enough. We don't care enough. We're distracted. But I want to let you know that's where we are, because we've decided that we're going to repent. That's not where we're going to keep going. Why is Jesus saying all this to the churches? He's pretty blunt. These are not easy words to digest. I wouldn't want him saying this to me. Well, so why is he saying this? We read in Revelation chapter 3 that Jesus is saying all of this out of love. Those whom I love, I reprove and discipline. So be zealous and repent. Jesus says, you've forgotten your first love. You've been too busy. You're lukewarm. You don't keep my words, but I still love you. That's why I tell you all this stuff. I want you to do well. I'm going to come back and I'm going to meet with you one day. I want you to do well. I love you too much to not tell you. He continues to say, to the one who conquers, to the one who repents, to the one who continues to hold fast to him, Jesus says, this is your prize. This is your reward. I will grant you to sit with me on my throne. On my throne, as I also conquered and sat down with my Father on his throne. The warning to repent is an invitation that let's reign together. Jesus is giving all of us a heads up, giving the pastoral team a heads up. The end of the term is going to come at any moment. This is the rubric. This is the stuff you should be studying for. Just so you know, you should be focusing on this. I want you to do well. So that's what we're doing in our 20th anniversary. This is what 20th anniversary means to us here in Koinonia Church. In case you weren't here for the 10th year, I'll tell you this is what we do every 10 years. It's a time to give thanks, obviously. It's a time to give thanks for all that God has given us, how he has delivered us through impossible situations. We give thanks and honor the servants, all of you guys that have served the church. But even more so, and more importantly, we remember and we reflect and we repent. We ask ourselves, have we forgotten our first love? Have we just gone all in into reputation, but we don't have any works to back it up? Have we become lukewarm and just useless to the community? That's what 20th anniversary means to us as a church. Now, what I've just said for the past 30 minutes, the Cantonese people have heard it this morning. The next 10 minutes, they haven't heard this. This is just for you. I know that you may have had a little, like very little control of what you guys have done in the past 20 years. I was a little kid. Whatever you gave me, whatever you did in Carpas, whatever you're doing, I just followed. It's not my fault. It's you guys that have gone to you this computer. So I understand this. The past 20 years had nothing to do with you, maybe. The next 20 years is all you. You have control and you make the destiny of this church for the next 20 years. Before I say what I need to say, I'm just going to, you know, give a little disclaimer. If you are a newcomer, welcome. What a great time to be at church. But it's a great time to be here because you know what we're about. You know what we're about. We're not just about making banquets, going to, you know, the yum cha all day and then just celebrate the 20 years. Why don't we have, like, go to a hotel and, like, have 80 seats and 80 tables and it's like, everybody go celebrate. Let's feel good about us. That's not what we do. That's not who we are. We are serious about our faith because we believe that if there's a God who created this universe and he loves me enough to die for me, giving my life to obey him is not too much to ask for. That is what we're about. You could not have picked a better time to come to this church. I hope one day that you will join us as partners. So now, to the rest of y'all, you have control over the next 20 years, and 20th anniversary is a time for all of you guys to decide now whether you're going to go all in or not. Whether you're going to do what the founders have done 20 years ago. You are the future of this church. 20 years later, Pastor Joshua, Pastor, they'll be long retired. All the people that started the church, they're going to be retired. It's all you. The 40th anniversary of this church, what I will say, hopefully I'm still alive, God willing. What I'm going to say in the 40th anniversary, what the pastors are going to say to you in the 40th anniversary, depends solely on what you do in the next 5 years. If you are a young adult, if you're an adult, if you're a second generation senior in high school, if you've just come to this church for enough, for 6 months plus, this is a message for you. You've got to wake up. It's time to go. I know what you're going to say. You're going to say, I'm too young. All of us who are too young. I want to tell you an interesting stat. If we go back to the first service, this is the first service at Haynes' house. I'm circled some of the founders for you, okay? Pastor Joshua is right here, founding pastor. This is Haynes. Haynes is our deacon. He speaks at English service regularly. He's our worship leader, small group leader. He does all that kind of stuff. Pastor Wilbur, another of our founding pastors. Wayne, you know Wayne. Wayne is from the beginning. Yeah. Wayne has been here for 20 years. He's a speaker. He comes here regularly. He leads youth worship. You know, you guys see him. There's another guy up in the left corner, Cyrus. Cyrus, you know, some of you guys know him. He doesn't serve in the English as much anymore, but he's served a lot of you guys in your youth fellowship. Can I tell you a secret? You know what age they were when they took this photo? Let's go one by one. Pastor Joshua is in his early 30s, did not pass 35. He has a lovely daughter that's around my son's age. My son is hitting 2 this November. I am his age. You know what I mean? We are apart from like a year. You know, 20 years ago, he's the same age as me. You know, Hings, he hasn't hit 30 yet. Pastor Wilbur, Wayne hasn't hit 30 yet. Cyrus is in his mid-20s. You're not, please don't tell each other, you're too young. You're all this age now. I know you might think, oh, you're too young. You're too young. I'm too young. I'm not mature enough. I don't know enough of the Bible. I don't love Jesus enough. When the founders started this church 20 years ago, they decided to go all in, not because they were capable, not because they were old, because they were obedient, because they knew one thing, that Jesus is their Lord, and if Jesus tells them to go, they would be obedient to go. It was their chance to live for something that matters, to live for something much bigger than themselves, to be meaningful and purposeful to this community. The reason that you're sitting here today, because 20 years ago, Cyrus, despite his youthfulness, he has no idea what he's going to do with his work, with his career, he's lost, but he was obedient to the call. He was obedient to the call despite his youthfulness. The reason that your family and your parents found hope in Jesus Christ, because Hings was obedient to the call. Despite he's busy, he's trying to make a name for himself, he was obedient to the call. Because you're here today because Pastor Joshua, despite his financial limitations, he had to sell his home. He has two little kids to take care of. Obedient to the call. Pastor Wilbur, 3 little ones. Despite the difficulty, he was obedient to the call. Despite the comfort that he has in his job, he was obedient to the call. I want to tell you, 20 years later, 10 years later, and maybe even 5 years later, someone is going to thank you for being obedient to the call, going all in despite the challenges. Maybe it's your classmate. That classmate that always sits by themselves. No friends. Maybe it's a friend of yours struggled with addiction. Maybe it's a coworker of yours that has no idea what she believes in, no idea what her gender identity is. Maybe it's your niece. Maybe it's your nephew. Maybe it's my son. He will thank you for being obedient to the call despite the difficulty, despite your youthfulness and your seeming incapability and lack of understanding. All the stuff that you said, thank you for being obedient to the call. So the question I have for you, should I count you in for the 40th anniversary? Let's stand together. I'm going to give you a minute to reflect and you pray to God. Would you pray to Him according to two questions? One is, if Jesus came to this church today, what would He say to you? Would you respond to Him? If Jesus came to the church and saw you, what might He say to you? Would you pray to Him and respond to Him? The second question is, should we count you in for the 40th anniversary? Despite the challenges, would you be obedient to God's call for you? Let me give you some time to pray. Let's pray together. God, it turns out that You have already given us the purpose that we have been asking for. It turns out when we've been asking and we're looking all around the world, what am I here to do with this life? God, You have already given it to us. But God, we are sorry that so many times we think this is too lame. We think this is irrelevant. We think this is too hard. We think this is not glamorous. And we walk the other side. But God, thank You that in Your love You have called us again. One more time. God, would You give us a heart of obedience. When we hear Your word, we will keep it. We will observe and obey. May this church, all these young people here, we will be known not for the quality of our program, not for how many people that we bring, but we'll be known for our obedience and our love for You.